Good morning, you guys. It is Tuesday. We're just here to chit chat. Leah Marie, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm tired.
Yawn like two or three times this morning.
Yeah, my cat got me up at like 5 and wouldn't shut up. So here we are.
I remember when I had a cat, my cat would walk in and just poke my face until I got up with him.
Well, we have to keep the door closed because he would be walking all over. And then he was scratching at the door. So then we put tinfoil all over the outside of the door. And now you hear like tinfoil in the morning. So
we don't sleep with our door closed. And I know that's bad. You're supposed to sleep with your door closed in case of a fire, but we never sleep with our door closed.
Really? I have to because of the cats. Yeah.
Yeah. We shut our kids' doors. Josie sleeps with their door closed. The boys sleep with their door closed, but we don't. I don't know if it's that whole parental thing. You want to be able to hear if something jumps in or whatever. We have alarm on every door, so I don't even know why we do that. But we don't sleep with the door closed. But we don't have any more pets. So, Walker took the dog.
Right.
That was a blessing and a half. We have no pets. And I'm telling you, once you're no Petville, I don't know that we are ever going to go back to pets.
I've already talked to David about having a hiatus of sorts when these two cats aren't with us anymore, because I just need a break from just cleaning fur and litter and all the things.
We haven't had a dog for over 6 months. Still, every time I vacuum, there's still fucking dog hair.
Yeah.
Still dog.
It is nice to not have to go pick up poop.
Oh, God, yes.
Find a pet sitter if you're going anywhere. Anytime we go on vacation, we have to pay somebody to come to our house and feed the cats. And, so it'll be nice to maybe take a little break.
Right. So I'm going to jump on live on TikTok while we're hanging out. So I don't know if you want to do that too. But today we're going to talk about limiting beliefs. Limiting beliefs inside of your divorce. And we're going to go through quite a few of them and just talk them out. So in the comments section, if you could be honest, what are some things that you first thought of, when it came to you divorcing your ex? Was it, you're scared, the effect, the embarrassment? I mean, the embarrassment was a big one for me. I'll be honest. I don't even know that it was so long ago, 15, 16 years ago. I don't know that I remember so much making kid comments as much as I feared the embarrassment of
people would think,
my family. Embarrassing my family, because I was one of the first people in my whole family to get divorced. So are they going to be disappointed?
Opinions of others. And definitely went through that. Definitely.
I'm a letdown, I'm the black sheep because I'm getting divorced. My parents are so I'm going to embarrass my parents. That was the big thing. I'm going to
live in a small town. So, everyone would be all up in your shit and know all your business.
Uh-huh. So that one hung with me for a long time. I mean, partly also because I got married so fast and I got married after 60 days. So I was in that whole, I deserve this. This is what happens to people that rush into marriage, that you're an idiot. And for picking this guy, but I had a lot of, I was so worried about other people's feelings that I don't know that I really for a long time stepped back and thought about my own feelings about the divorce, because I was so worried about the disappointment I was showing, the stress I was causing on my friends and family, my kids, that I didn't ever really stop and take care of myself till years later.
And that keeps people in marriages for a long time.
Yes.
Just that stuff. I mean, they say that on average, it takes about 2 years that someone is even kind of contemplating taking those steps towards divorce before they actually take those action steps, because of all of that stuff, the what ifs and what can they change and what will people think, and just the fear of all those unknown factors. So all that stuff.
I love for Renee's being completely honest here. She's saying, I fear parental alienation and financial abuse.
Yeah.
And I think, I know for me, that was one of my first instincts, because I had married somebody that already had a child and I watched parental alienation happen right in front of me. Did I know that's what it was back in the day when I was 27, 28 years old? I had no fucking clue. You guys, I had no clue what parental alienation was till, if I'm being honest, probably 5 or 6 years ago.
Right.
So I didn't know what the name of it was. I knew it was happening. I just thought he was an asshole. I didn't know there was an actual terminology for this shit, but I was watching it man, this guy is really putting this child against this other person. I was watching it in slow pace. So then I knew it was going to happen to my kids because I had physically watched it with another kid, And so that was a big fear of before I left, of I know the shit's going to happen to my children. I know it is, because he knows no better. He knows no different. This is the only thing he knows how to defend himself, is to just do this to a child.
Right.
But I do think the financial abuse, like Renee is saying, is huge as to why people stay.
Yeah, they stay. Very real. And mm-hmm. so I think in situations like that, you have to really assemble your Avengers. You have to get the support. You have to learn as much as you can, get as much knowledge and as many tools as you can, so that you feel more confident taking those steps, like getting people to really look at everything and protect yourself. And that will help you move forward, because you don't want to stay in a relationship that you know isn't good for you out of fear of what can happen if you leave. That is not a good reason to stay in a relationship, and your life is going to pass you by, and you're going to look back and you're definitely going to regret that, because you wasted your life staying with someone you didn't want to stay with because of the fear of all those unknown factors.
Right. That's a very popular question when we have all these support groups that we run, and we ask the question, you know, what's your biggest regret about your divorce? Most popular answer every single time: stayed too long.
I wish I didn't
pull the trigger soon enough. Like everybody says, you know, I thought there'd be a sign. I thought there'd be a right moment. I thought I'd be more stable. There is no getting ready for this. I mean, you can get ready in the context of like, okay, there's 5 different scenarios that could happen. Let me play all those out. And if one of them happens, I'm prepared. But you don't know which 5 is going to happen. So there's never a perfect timing. Like, just like there's never perfect timing to get pregnant and have a kid. It's just, you got to just wing it, you know, when it happens. So
yeah, but you can prepare yourself in advance as far as like learning what you can. Like
learning about
it. Others, mm-hmm. talk to professionals. And the more information you get, the more prepared you feel. So then the more confident you are taking those steps, even though there's still a lot of unknown factors that you can't necessarily predict, you're going to have a lot more tools in your toolbox.
Right there. We're watching The Rookie on Hulu, and inside The Rookie, this police officer's dating a doctor because she's separating from her husband. And then she decides to go back to her husband for her son, Oliver. And she's breaking up with the cop who she's in love with. And she's like, I have to go back. I have to give it one more shot for my son's sake. And the cop, who's divorced as well, he's like, this will never work. Like, you're going back and you're going to lose me because I'm not going to stick around. And this is never going to work going back just for your son. You're not in love with your husband. And I think it's so many people. I'm going to stay till the kids are 18. I'm going to stay because the kids need me. I can't leave the kids alone in that house because they'll be abused or they'll be neglected. So I'll just stay. So that kind of goes back to one of our first limiting beliefs is, you know, I have to stay for the kids. Like I can't do this because if I leave the kids will, you know, something will happen to them, and something's going to happen to those kids if you stay. And they're going to be watching a shitty fucking marriage. Yeah. They're going to be watching you be miserable. They're going to be watching you not take care of yourself and be horrible.
Not set boundaries and put your well-being on the back burner. And I mean, that's the biggest thing is we think that staying for the kids is the best thing to do, but really you're setting the example for the kind of standards they're going to have for themselves in their future relationships. So a really insightful question you can ask yourself if you're struggling with this is, if my kids were in this situation, what would I want them to do?
Right.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, 99.9% of the time, you're going to say, I would tell them to get the fuck out. I wouldn't say, well, suck it up. You made a promise. You need to stay and deal with it.
Right.
You're not going to tell your kids that. You're going to be like, no, if you like, get out. You have to set that example and lead from the front. You have to be that person to go, yes, this is going to be hard. Yes, this is scary as fuck. Yes, it's going to be stressful, but I can do it. In the bigger picture, this is the right decision for me. This is the healthiest decision for everybody.
Healthy.
Even if people don't agree with it or understand, you've got to show your kids that your well-being is a priority to you, so that they learn that their well-being should be a priority to them.
Yeah. I mean, having my kids see a shitty relationship and now a great relationship, I'm teaching them the fundamental things that they need to know what to look for in their own relationship.
Communication and respect. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things that I noticed too that are just different in the relationship I'm in now. And I'm so proud of myself, honestly, for doing those hard things to get to the place that I'm at now, because now I get to set this example for my daughter. And she's growing up in a home that is peaceful and there's harmony and it's healthy. And she sees me in a good place and she sees what a respectful, healthy relationship looks like and how we talk to each other and how we are thoughtful and all of that stuff that I didn't have any of that before.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So another one that we want to touch on that I think is really good is something's wrong with me. You know, we talk about this a lot with cheating.
For sure.
Like, because did you ask for the divorces or did they ask for divorces?
No, it was me both times, but I 100% was like, I'm broken. I'm fucked up. I'm hard to love. Something's wrong with me. I'm going to be alone forever. All of that negative self-talk, that was me, was like, something's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the truth was there kind of was. I had a lot of healing to do. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, my worthiness or who I am as a person or my value as a human. But there were things that I needed to look at in myself as to why I kept choosing the partners I was choosing. Why did I keep finding myself in these relationships and settling in relationships? And it really was because of my fear of being alone. I have this deep-seated fear of abandonment, because back to childhood, which is usually what happens, is something happened in your childhood. I lost my parents at a young age and a lot of shit happened. So that was kind of like where I was making my decisions from, this place of lack and fear and abandonment. And so once I did all that inner work and figured that out and learned to just build my self-esteem and self-confidence, I could choose healthier partners and have healthier relationships.
You know, I think we were talking this morning before we jumped on about childhood and how much it affects people. I just wish that was taught in high school or junior high. So look at your childhood. What's some things that are going on? Or a college course, or like, hey, as soon as you graduate, everybody has to go take this mental health evaluation where you get to figure out, oh yeah, that shit that happened to you when you were 7 in your house, that's going to affect you when you're 27 in your second year of marriage. You know, that's going to come out eventually. Like, there's such a correlation to how you were raised, how it's going to affect your relationships.
Yeah. And yourself. All of your beliefs are stemming from your childhood and like the environment you grew up in and the things that happened to you and the relationships that you had. And until you can cultivate that self-awareness and start challenging those limiting beliefs, you're going to just be on autopilot and making decisions based off of who you think you are or things that you think are true and they're not. It's just what you were taught or what you learned when you were young.
I think that's the key part. Like, just because it happened to you when as a child, whether it be physical abuse, sexual abuse, just mental and emotional trauma, you were exposed to something you shouldn't have been exposed. That's then, as long as you're aware of it and can like counter it and get the help that you need for whatever level of trauma that it was. But it's not the defining moment of you. And so many people walk around with like, woe is me. Something happened to me when I was 12.
Right. This is just who I am now. This happened. And so now this is who I am.
Yes. And it's like, no, we can work through this. We can work past this. This isn't your label for the rest of your life. But so many people do. And it's like, you don't understand. This is what, you know, this is my childhood. This is the way I am. This is the way I'm trained to be. This is what was for. And it's like, no. You know, like I think one thing, and I've talked openly about this with my parents, you know, they were really young when they had me, and there was a lot of like self-growth with them while I was being raised. And like the love word wasn't used a whole bunch. It's used tremendously now, but it's just like, they weren't those people because their childhood wasn't a lot of I love yous, you know, and a lot of my parents chose to really provide for me and care for me and make sure I never went without and made sure that I felt love. But the word love wasn't used a lot when I was a kid, but now it is because I voiced that and now they're comfortable with that. So, but when I had kids, I was like, okay, that was the one thing I needed more in life was to hear it. And so I say it all the time. So just because something happened to you as a child doesn't mean you got to repeat it. You could change it. Something about your childhood you didn't like, you can change it. Yes. You know, like I was a very authoritative parent with my first two kids. And now that I have a second set of kids, I'm not so authoritative anymore. But I was raised in an authoritative parent, you know, childhood. And I needed that when I was a single parent with my other two kids. But now I have Jared. So I can be a little bit more, you know, love and logic and gentle parenting with my other two kids. You can change at any point in time what's happened to you. But so many of you don't put the connection of your childhood to your present.
Yeah.
But when you do, it's like, oh fuck. Like,
that's crazy.
That makes so much more sense why I have a wall up with that, or why I'm jaded, or why I'm so aggressive at that category. Like, you can just, it's so much growth can happen. Yeah.
And it's not always easy. Like that shadow work that we talk about, it's hard sometimes to face those parts of yourself that are kind of like ick, maybe. They give you like, they're like, oh, I didn't know I was like that. I didn't know I did that.
Right.
I didn't know that's how I felt about these things. And it can be kind of like a slap in the face. But when you just embrace it and accept it and forgive yourself for your mistakes and work through it and gain knowledge, it will literally transform your entire life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, just because I felt that way for a long time. I mean, I had a great childhood for the most part. Nothing really bad happened when I was a kid. It was really good. So it's like, I didn't have a lot of understanding that other people didn't have the same kind of life I did. So when I, you know, got with my ex-husband, and I had literally people coming up to me, Leah, before I married him. And they're like, Sam, his childhood was not the best. Like, just be cautious. His childhood was not the best. Like, his parents had a tumultuous divorce. It was really bad. It was ugly for him.
Like, oh, I can fix him. Oh,
oh, don't worry about it.
Me and I, and he will be transformed forever.
Yes. I mean, I've literally had multiple people that were like, I don't know you that well, but you need to know this, 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 this. And I'm just like, but that's okay. I don't see that part, because I was getting love bombed like a mofo at that point in time. And I had no fucking idea. It was just like, I mean, and again, completely my fault, not saying it's his fault at all. It's completely my fault for not understanding what I had to face and what was in front of me. But now understanding his childhood makes me understand the way he is now. It totally does. And again, I have empathy for the man now, because it's created a long time ago, and he has no choice but to be this way, because he doesn't even connect his childhood to who he is now. Some people just don't. I mean, how many of you in the comments know somebody? It doesn't have to be your ex. It could be a coworker. It could be a sister. It could be somebody that does not understand that they have some issues to work on from their childhood. Like, they don't even see the connection.
Yeah.
You know, they aren't even willing to connect the childhood thing to their adult life, you know?
Yeah.
What's another one that's a limiting belief that we could kind of put to bed a little bit?
Okay. So I like this one. It's like, I'll be alone forever. Never find the right person. You know, my ideal partner doesn't exist.
Oh,
it's all nonsense. It's all nonsense. Mm-hmm. I definitely had that fear. I mean, that's why I wound up with a second divorce, is because after the first one, I was like, well, I don't want to be alone. I'm going to have to find somebody. I'm only getting older. Now I have all this baggage. And so I hopped right into another relationship. And when that didn't work, I was back on the dating apps and hopped into another one, and then got married and chose the wrong partner again, because it was for the wrong reasons. Right. You're not going to be alone forever. There's billions of people on the planet.
Yep.
But the thing is, you have to get to the place where you feel like you don't need a relationship.
Yes.
That's when you're going to find it. When you are happy and fulfilled, and you know yourself, and you like yourself, and you respect yourself, and you know how to set boundaries, and you have standards, and you know your deal breakers, and you feel like your life is full, that's when you're going to find your ideal partner.
Yep. And I think, unless you're willing, and doing the work on your own is scary, like really self-reflecting. You and I are right now going through this book together and going through phases.
Great
of this book. And it's a workbook for women about loving yourself.
Lots
and having
of,
some
like,
self-worth.
Exercises and all kinds of stuff in there.
And you got to be honest when you do things like this. I know TikTok has a shadow book too that's out.
Yeah, I've been seeing that all over the place. And
I have it. I haven't done it yet. I'm gonna do this one first. But, you know, like, just that in itself. Okay, the fact that you and I, you know, you send me an affirmation in the morning, I listen to it, it's 10 minutes long. We're doing personal development, we're reading books, then we're also doing these workshop workbook, and we're good. And we're in a good place, and we have good people in our lives because we've done the work. But we're still doing the work.
Yeah, gratitude practice, journaling.
Yeah, we just did gratitude,
mindfulness, like, and meditation. I mean, it's all a part of our routine.
And because we do all of those things, we keep ourselves good, to where we are so attractive to our spouses, because they don't need to come in the door and pick up the pieces and put us back together and be our savior and our fixer and our, let me make you whole again, Leah. we're already whole. We're walking, they're walking in the door. We're like, we don't need anything for you. Let's just hang out. Like, I don't need you to fix me. I don't need you to console me. Now, do we have our days? Absolutely. But because we're doing the work continuously, it's not like we did the work and we stopped. We're still doing the work every day. And we just talked about this a couple of days ago. When I stop doing the work, like when I take the weekends off and I'm like, I don't need to do my personal development today. I don't need to write my gratitude journal. I'm playing with my kids. That's good enough. I become grouchy. I become irritable. I become a little bit resentful of everybody else because I don't have time to do the thing that I love to do, which is take care of myself. Mm-hmm. Like, and you have to value yourself. You need to value yourself to want to take care of yourself.
Yes.
Like, if you don't value yourself, it's very easy to pass off and be like, I don't need to do that. I'll just drink tonight. You know, I don't need to meditate. I can just watch TV and mindlessly not think about, like, grounding yourself and really doing that. Just, it's 10 minutes. I literally, again, this morning sat in my bathroom on my, it's going to be my thing, I think, where I just sit naked in my bathroom on the rug before I take a shower. And I just listen to the whole thing. And it's like, okay, I'm ready to go for the day. Like, I have my mindset on, this is going to be the agenda today. This is who I am. Nobody can stop me. Nobody can fuck with me. Like, and you just go, I've already done my gratitude. So I'm like, I already thanked myself for the great day yesterday. Now I'm going to start looking for things today. And it's all a mind shift change to where, yeah, when Jared and David got in our lives, it's because we were super fucking attractive, not for our beauty, because we are fucking pretty too. It was because we had our shit together.
Yeah. And then when you're that person, you're going to attract somebody who will do the same thing for themselves.
Yep. Who is also at that level.
Themselves and has standards, mm-hmm, and does that inner work and can self-reflect, and you can have those kind of conversations with. And that's the thing, is like, we date at the same level as our self-esteem. Everything's, yeah, energy. So wherever you're vibrating, whatever you're putting out, that's the shit that you're going to be attracting back into your life. Yeah. So the higher you get your vibration, and the more work you do on yourself, and the more you respect yourself, and the more confidence you have, and the more you value yourself, that's the kind of shit that you're going to be pulling back into your orbit.
Right. And I think if you're waking up and your first instinct is to go to social media and to check on other people, and not do something for yourself first, that's where you're not even already, I mean, from the word go of getting up, you're not even valuing yourself. You're already in other people's lives and, you know, doing the whole like, well, let's compare myself to this post, and oh, their Christmas tree is better than mine. Like, really just sit with yourself and be proud of what you're fucking putting out. And I know for the first 8 years after my divorce, I wasn't proud of what I was putting out. I was invested in other people's lives. I was worried about everything else but myself. I put myself dead fucking last for a long time because I thought, well, I have all this going on. I can't pause for an hour of my day to worry about everybody else. I have to just keep moving. I got to take care of my kids, my yard, my job, my ex, my divorce, my attorney's calling. I had all these things, and I really regret not learning this shit earlier, because I could have healed a lot faster, and I probably, yeah, could have found Jared a lot faster had I worked on myself. But I was the woe is me victim for so long. Like, nobody understands how hard my life is. I can't pause for a minute to take care of myself. You don't understand what single parenting is. I mean, I use that excuse all the time. You don't know. I'm trying to do all this by myself. Yeah. And if I don't take care of myself when the kids are gone, I'm going to be, learning curve is going to be huge, because I've been 18 years of not taking care of myself.
Yeah.
So it's really important to find it. Oh, God, yes. My kids see me with books open, and they know not to interrupt. They know that's my time. And Josie will send me a text, hey, when you're done, come to my room. Okay. It might be another 30 minutes, because, mm-hmm, she knows I value all these books that I'm reading, all the journaling I'm doing.
Yeah. Like, or if you're on the treadmill, like downstairs, you're doing your exercise, yeah, your kids know. Oh,
don't fuck with me. Treadmill. Don't fuck with me. You better be bleeding if you're going to take me off this treadmill. Like, it's literally half hour, guys. And all of you are like, oh, kids need me, I'll hit stop on my workout. And no. You set your kids up for success. Here's your fucking iPad. Here's a bowl of cereal. Here's your drink cup. I'll be back. Your kids are going to love being on that iPad for a half hour, and you're going to love working out for a half hour. Like, you're not a bad parent because you put the iPad in front of them to go take care of yourself. Yeah. But so many of you use that as an excuse. Like, well, I have to take care of myself.
Or like selfishness, right? Like, we think, mm-hmm, we're selfish, yeah, because we are trained from a young age that we're supposed to sacrifice. We're supposed, yeah, to put everyone else's needs first. We're supposed, right, to be the caretakers. But as cliche as it is, it's, you can't pour from an empty cup. You can't. You think that you're doing a good job as a parent, but if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not doing the best job as a parent.
Right.
You're not. You can't. Right. You don't, right, have the capacity to, if you're running on empty. Right. You have to be able to take care of yourself and meet your own needs to be able to show up as the best version of yourself for your kids and for everybody else in your life.
Right. You know, and Renee says mom guilt. And I totally get that because I believe that too. Like, oh, I can't take away from them because I only have them. Like for me, I had my kids 50% of the time when it first started. So I only have them 50%. There's no way I can hit pause on spending time with them to go worry about myself. That's selfish. But what I had to come to the realization was if I don't show my kids how I take care of myself, they're never going to take care of themselves.
No, they're going to grow up, they're going to have kids, and they're going to go, oh, well, I guess this is what you do. Mm-hmm. I don't take care of myself because when mom was taking care of me when I was growing up, she always put me first. She never took care of herself. So yep. That's what they're learning. When they grow up, they're going to be the same kind of parent.
Yep. And so I know I've instilled how powerful personal development is because even my son who hates reading, when he hit a bad spot in his life, he was like, what book should I read? He knew that I use personal development to get through struggles. You know, my daughter gets up before fucking high school, her senior year, and goes to the gym. Why? Because she sees me get my ass up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And she's like, I love how you feel that you get it done early in the morning and then you have the rest of the day to dick around. She's like, if I get it done early, then I can go do whatever the hell I want after school. Like she's without me telling her, this is what you should be doing, or Walker, this is what you should be. They're just picking up on it. And they're like, they're watching us move. And now that Walker's in a relationship, he sees how Jared and I have an argument that's healthy. And so he'll ask us questions like, okay, I respond this way. You know, my boyfriend responds this way. What do we do? And we're coaching them like, hey, that's his personality. This is yours. You got to be self-recognizing that this is how you are. Like there's so much growth going on with our big kids because they're watching healthy shit happen in front of them. And I can't help but think if I was still married to their biological dad, oh my God. I mean, the fights that we used to have were so verbally undercutting that it was like, I'm so glad we're divorced. There's not one regret in my fucking brain of not divorcing that man, because it would have just been Sam gets beat down, Sam kisses ass, and then we're right back to loving on each other.
That's or what it's that was okay the cycle. To be spoken to like that. It's okay to talk to somebody like that.
Yes.
It's okay to be manipulative. And I mean, those are the examples again. And so when you're no longer tolerating that stuff, your kids are going to learn those healthy boundaries too.
Yep. Yeah. And so it's just, I feel so good about myself and I hate to toot my own horn, but like I've overcome so much shit I did wrong. My ex-husband, he had his own failures, but I did a lot wrong by allowing it to happen to me because a lot of you don't have boundaries. And so a lot of people call us on our, you know, clarity calls or consultations. And they're like, how do I get them to stop doing this? And it's like, you're never going to get your ex to stop doing shit. You didn't when you were married. You're sure as hell not going to get them to stop when you're divorced. The only thing you can do is show them that you're not tolerating anymore. You're not going to believe it anymore. You have a boundary with it now. They don't have access to you. You have to limit the access, but so many of you don't have confidence within yourself or self-worth yet to where you allow that dialogue to happen to you or those actions happen to you. And, you know, in the next chapter that Leah and I coach, we give you those tools. We teach you. Leah just did an amazing training just yesterday for the moms, and she's going to give it to the dads on Wednesday about self-worth. I mean, I was taking notes on like, yes, when I do consultations, I need to help people with this vocabulary and help them get this talking to themselves and better. And again, everybody asks, what was the game changer between your ex-husband? You know, it was high conflict. And now it's not. He didn't change. He's still sitting over there high conflict in the corner. He's over there. I'm just not looking in the corner anymore. Go be you, boo. Like I'm over here not being affected by your words anymore because my self-worth is fucking through the roof.
You make yourself a priority. Yes. You treat yourself with respect. You take care of yourself. You try to exercise. It's all intrinsically linked.
Yeah. It sounds super cliche. I know if you're just tuning into us, maybe for the first time or first few times of listening to us talk, it's not a magic pill. It's literally the most cliche shit in the world. It's literally self-care. You take care of yourself. Your high conflict person will not affect you. It's as simple as that. And I know a lot of you are like, I'm going to go take this class and I'm going to read this book and this book. If the book doesn't start with take care of yourself, sleep better, eat better, exercise, journal, gratitude, that book's not going to work. You're going to learn a lot, but there's nothing to implement. You have to implement taking care of yourself. and Liam Ree is like the guru of taking care of yourself. Like, she is the most educated person about it. So there's no magic, you know, action or pill to engage with your ex. It's all self-care.
It's all you. It's how, That's it. It's how you can't change anyone. You can change how you respond to them. That's really the key.
And how you receive it.
Like, yeah. How like you process it, what your action steps are.
When he used to come at me, I mean, early when, even when we were married, let's say, he would make some derogatory comment about how I didn't clean enough or I wasn't caring for the kids enough. I believed it wholeheartedly. Like, oh my gosh, I do have to work harder. I am not being a good mom. Like, his words could not have been more true in my life. But what I had to realize was there's a whole bunch of other childhood shit of men's words to me that was a bigger factor that I needed to fix. And once I fixed that, it was like, fuck you. That your words mean nothing to me. But I had to fix something that was inside of me. But at first, I listened to everything that he said and I believed it because I didn't believe myself. I've never even had a conversation with myself. And if you aren't talking to yourself, and I don't mean like full on conversations, but like talking yourself up, doing your affirmations and saying, I am a good mom. I mean, I truly know I'm a good mom. I can say that. Back in the day, I couldn't have said that because I would have been like, but he could argue like 10 facts as to why I'm not. And I did get divorced. So that I'm not a good mom because I broke up my family. Like, I would have talked myself 3 ways till Sunday how I was not a good mom. I can look right in my face now and say, I am a good mom. I'm kicking ass at this. Like, taking names. Do I have my bad moments? Absolutely.
But yeah, it doesn't mean you're perfect. Yeah. Like, we're not talking about perfection. We're talking about just accepting ourselves for who we are and knowing that we're doing the best that we can and that that is enough.
I think one of the biggest factors, I know I'm killing it as a mom now, and I would say this is probably in the last 5 or 6 years, I'm approachable. I remember when my son and I used to get in fights when he was younger. You know, we were too much alike and we would battle. And we were both cutthroat word talkers. You know, he'd say something low, I'd go lower. And it was one of those things where I just became really rude to him, and because he was rude to me, and I'm the adult, so I needed to do better, right? And he would always say, once we would calm down, he'd say, but I just don't feel like I can come to you. I feel like you're going to judge me or attack me. So I had to realize him and I are not the same. His maturity level is different than mine. So it's easy for me to be up here and judge him and talk down to him. But as soon as I switched that and became more like less judgmental when he would speak, I would just pause, let him talk, let him get up, wouldn't change my face of disgust. Like, are you kidding me? What? I was just neutral. I became approachable. And now this kid is telling me everything in his life. And I love it. And it's like, he would have never done that years ago because I wasn't approachable. And now I know my kids can come to me. Daughter comes to me with high school drama, boy drama, school drama, you know, sports drama. And it's like, I am approachable. I've become who my parents are to me, which is the go-to people. My parents are my go-to people. I'm a problem. I go to my parents still at 44. My kids are coming to, and it's such a good feeling. Like, to know that I've hit the mark, that I'm at my mom's caliber. My mom is an open door all the time. Always answers a phone call. I'm that for my kids. So it's like, I'm nailing this shit now. I'm not distracted though. Before I was distracted with all the garbage, you know, kids go play. I got to worry about this divorce. I got to call my lawyer. Shh, go get out of the room. I was always pushing them away because I felt like what was going on was more important. My kids were important, being there for them. So if you can't say you're a good mom, what are you doing? What can you change? 2024 is coming about. You got 30 some days left of the year right now to start tweaking it and start perfecting it and start prioritizing your kiddos and yourself. Show your kids that you're a priority so they believe that you have value so they'll come to you. Are you approachable for your kids? Or are you that mom that says, go, get? Because I was that mom for a long time. I was that mom. It was bad. But I fixed it. So, you know, you can do that too. What's another one? I think there was another one that was really good about limiting beliefs. One more before we go.
Oh, I'll never get out of debt.
Oh,
yeah. Money, all the money stuff. I mean, that's probably the second biggest thing, right? Aside from like the mental and emotional shit, it's money. Yep. And here's the thing. This is going to be a combination of you doing whatever it takes, even if it's not ideal, because you understand that it's temporary and that it's a stepping stone.
It is temporary.
And your mindset, like where's your mind at and your perspective, because you can create opportunities for yourself. You can create money, for wealth for yourself. You can connect with people. There's so many things that you can do, but it's going to be like both of those things, is taking action and doing what needs to be done. Like, for example, for me, The first time with my first divorce, I was a stay-at-home mom. And so I had to go get a job. And I was the first job that I got, because I was desperate and I was just like looking for anything so that I can get money start to come in. I was waitressing at a barbecue joint as a vegan. Okay. I was crying in the bathroom stalls. It was not a good fit, but I knew I just needed to do whatever I could to get money. Luckily, after a few days, I was able to get a different job at like an ice cream restaurant.
Right.
And so I was doing that. And trust me, there was a lot of like ego checking I had to do at the door, because as somebody who was in their 30s, you know, and a mom, and I'm staying home on now, I'm going back and I'm like having to wait tables and scoop ice cream. There was a lot of like mindset shift that I had to do to talk myself out of thinking that like, there was something like I was behind in life. You know what I'm saying? Like I was seeing all my other people on social media and friends and having these jobs that they've been settled in for years and being successful and having them everything worked out. And here I am kind of like starting at the bottom, almost like I did like right out of high school. That's what I felt like. But I had to keep telling myself, it's just temporary. It's just temporary. Something else will come. I will find something else. And I did. And then I found something else. And then after that, I found something better. And some of the things that you might have to do are just those stepping stones to get you in a better financial position so that you can get yourself out of a bad situation into a better one.
Right.
And then from there, you work your way up. And then money comes and it builds and you save and you invest and you get out of debt. And there's ways to do all of that stuff for yourself.
Right. And a lot of it is just changing your perspective on it. I know for me, having to owe my attorney, you know, $20,000 at a time, you guys, and then I'd pay off another $20,000. It was a number that for me made me feel poor, you know, because I was making mortgage payments that were smaller than my lawyer payment. My lawyer payment was huge when I was with one attorney. And then as I switched attorneys, things got better. The bill didn't get smaller, but it just, the understanding of where I was at in life became better with my different attorneys. But it was like, I remember those days 16 years ago of getting those bills of $20,000, $30,000 and a lawyer and thinking, I'm always going to be poor because of this. And that's just not true. It was true at the beginning. I mean, because I had a horrible mindset around it. I was freaking out. I mean, I freaked out all the time about it. Like, this is never going to go away. How am I going to ever make, I can't make huge payments. Like I'm broke, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, as soon as I shifted my mind, I jumped into an MLM, and because I needed to, and I needed to grind and I needed to make it work, it did. And I got to be able to make huge chunk payments to my attorney. And then I stopped doing that and went into teaching myself and coaching people. And that was lucrative. And it brought in money that I got to keep paying off my debt and my bills. And it was just like, and I was in a career, you know, I was in a teaching career. I thought when I became a teacher, I'd be a teacher for my life. Like I would just be a school teacher till the day I retired at 65. And that's what my life would be. And so to get away from that career and go into teaching adults about divorce was fucking scary. But it was one of the best decisions I made because I took a chance on myself because I believed in myself. I knew the subject. I knew I could teach people because I had a teaching background. And so I took that risk and I got to pay off my debt a lot faster. So a lot of you, it's if you stay in that negative mindset of woe is me, I have this huge bill with my attorney and I don't have money because my income is now gone. You know, I'm on the dual income. Now I'm on a single. If you stay in that woe is me mindset, money's never going
to
come to you.
Right. Or there's no way. There's no way. There's no way I can make this work. You know, if that's really what you believe, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you just got to be creative. And a lot of you have talent. A lot of you have a skill set that you overlook.
And resources that you have.
Yes. And the ability to put yourself out online to try a new thing and to get money coming in. I mean, online is where it's at. I mean, that's where you have the most masses of people, right? But if you have a trade that you could do, bartering needs to come back. I mean, good Lord, does bartering need to come back? You know, back in the old days when they'd say, okay, I'm the baker, but you're the welder. I need you to weld something in my bakery and I'll give you bread for a week. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you did that. I always use that example, like with your gym membership.
Yep. My kids were in gymnastics and I couldn't afford it. And so I was like, hey, I'll pay this amount. I can afford this amount. What can I do for you? And she said, I need the bathrooms cleaned. Every time I went there, 2 days a week, I'm cleaning bathrooms. I'm cleaning a public fucking bathroom because I needed to barter down the price of my kids' gymnastics. It's just what I did. Put on the gloves, put on some music and fucking clean some dirty ass toilets of complete fucking strangers. But it cut my bill down and my kids got to do something that I couldn't afford, right? So I think when you push comes to shove, you got to be open-minded to doing things that are uncomfortable. You know, fuck, if OnlyFans were a thing back in the day, good Lord, my ass would have been spread eagle fucking bringing the money in. I just would have, because I was in such a horrible spot financially. There wasn't a thing of taking feet pictures. I mean, I'm sure there probably was a dark website of that, but I didn't know about it back then. You know, like, I think all of us just need to be comfortable with getting outside of our comfort zone to reach. It's so easy to sit back and bitch. It's so easy to sit and complain and to say, woe is me. You know, I have all this debt. I'm never going to get out of it. Yeah, you can. If you open your mind up to, okay, what can I do? I got 3 hours every other Saturday. What could I do for those 3 hours? I have nighttime. Kids go to bed at 7. You got like 4 or 5 hours you could be doing shit. What could you be doing? You know, what service are you good at? I don't care if it's braiding hair to fucking painting something. Mm-hmm. What could you be doing? You know, somebody just said blogging. Hell yeah. If that pays, go for it. You know, like, start something now. And you're not going to make money off of it in 2.3 seconds unless, you know, you're a one percenter. Good luck. But you got to work at it. I mean, I didn't start making, you know, headlines in the divorce world for years. It took me till I got on TikTok before I ever really made a dime. And once I got on TikTok, it was like, okay, now I have everything out there for people to see. The masses are coming. The masses need help. And now I can help my own family because I'm helping other families, mm-hmm. you know? And my mom and dad thought I was fucking crazy for quitting a career job.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, is you've got to be careful of like whose advice you're taking, because most often they're just projecting their own fears and insecurities onto you. But if you really believe in yourself, or you know that this is the right path, or that there's something that you just really want to give a go and just try, do it.
Right. And it could be anything. You know, maybe you want to become a hairdresser, then go to night school. You know,
There's online classes. There's so many different things, opportunities now that you can do. I mean, I'm in a networking group for women, and there's women doing all kinds of things. There's somebody who does face painting for kids at parties. There's somebody who makes charcuterie boards. There's somebody who does like permanent jewelry on people. There's somebody who puts together flower arrangements. It's like there are literally unlimited possibilities and opportunities, but you have to seek them out. You have to want to find them. You can't just say it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to happen when you're laying on your couch every night. You know, if you're not laying on your couch with your computer open, seeking and searching and taking an online class to learn how to do something to be able to sell it later, nothing's going to happen to you sitting on your couch watching Netflix and scrolling TikTok at the same time.
Right. Your life isn't going to change. And not to say that it's not okay to just like chill
veg
and chill
out
sometimes, because you need that too. But though all those times where you could choose to scroll Facebook or just kind of sit around or watch Netflix, that those are the windows that you could be putting in work to help you get a little bit closer to your goal.
Right. I remember when I started my MLM, it was in a fitness field, and I got really healthy. My kids saw me get really healthy, and they became part of my business because they knew how good I felt doing my fitness, that they were like, your mom has to do this too, because our mom is so much happier now that she's lost weight and she's in better shape and she's eating better. Like, they became part of my business, and it was such a thing. Like, they knew the payday was Thursday. And so we'd pull up my bank account and be like, how much did mom worked her ass off all week? Right. And so they got to see like, wow, because they were helping with my business. They were helping promote. They were on my lives with me, and they were in my videos with me. And so it was really cool for them to see all that hard work paid off. And then we would go do something, you know. Yeah, part of it would go to my lawyer bill, but the other part would be like, we'd get to go to the movies for the first time, you know, in a long time. Or we got to go buy that special pizza on a Friday that normally we would make pizza or have a frozen pizza. Like, they got to see hard work paid off. So it was it was a total game changer. But I hit a rock bottom. I mean, I hit a rock bottom where I was not eating. I didn't have enough food in the house. Like, I hit, and I was too embarrassed to ask for help. I was hitting a rock bottom before just this opportunity came. Somebody said, hey, you know, you're a PE teacher. You like fitness, even though I was overweight at the time. Would you be wanting to do this? And I was like, fuck it. What else do I got to do? Like, sure. And I did it, and I fell in love with it. And it just transpired into this entrepreneur mindset that I have now of like, you know, be your own boss kind of thing. And I'm not saying ever quit your full-time job to just go jump into entrepreneurship. You got to do the same. You got to do them both at the same time. You got to work your 9-to-5 and start your entrepreneurship and work them both until one is making the same money as the other. Then you can quit that one, especially when you're a single parent.
There is a little bit of a hustle.
There's a hustle into it. But, you know, if you want to, you will. And I'll never regret working for myself. It's one of the best decisions I ever made. It was scary as fuck. Scary as fuck. But it's pretty fucking cool. You know, we work 3 or 4 days a week for a few hours and we get to spend the rest of the time with our loved ones. So it's pretty awesome. And we owe that to you guys. So we really appreciate that. With that said, you know, we come on, let's see, Mondays we come on to do the next chapter. Tuesdays we come on just to chit chat with you. Wednesdays we do the next chapter with dads. And Thursdays we always come on to do a recording as well. So you guys set your timers for in the morning. We're always jumping in on the morning to hang out with you. But the next chapter is really where we want you to go. And we just realized and just made the decision that we are going to do a little bit of coaching at the end of every call. So we're going to train for 35, 40 minutes, and then we're going to open up to Q&A inside of that next chapter. And yesterday we did it with the moms, and there were some hellacious questions that I know hit the mark for a lot of other moms that were listening. And we're going to do the same thing for the dads on Wednesdays. But we also decided that we're going to do a NARC training, how to deal with narcissism, in January.
Yes, that's going to be an awesome one because I know a lot of people struggle with this. And so we're going to do a whole, and it might actually have to be like a two-parter and do a NARC training. And we're going to get, I have a guide too that I'm creating that I can give you as a bonus. So the next chapter is so good. Again, it's like we do a new training every Monday for moms. And then we open it up for live Q&A. Ask us anything. It doesn't even have to pertain to the training. You can ask us anything you want. Yep. If you can't make the live, the replays stay available for at least 30 days inside the group. You can go back and watch it. And then if you can't come to the live and you have a question, every Wednesday, you can post whatever questions you have. And then we'll touch on them on that Monday, the following Monday. So it's like you have access to two certified coaches who do this for a living and who have experienced it ourselves. Yep. So you're going to get so many tools, so much information, and then be a part of this little like tight-knit community too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as we only have these 30 some days left of the year, you guys, I really want you to just take a moment to say, okay, what can I gift myself? You know, everybody's always asking you, what do you need? What do you need? Have somebody give you a Visa card with $120 on it, you know, like maybe $60 on it. You can get 3 months worth of the next chapter for $60, you know, or 2 months for $60. It's $30 a month. So if somebody's saying, hey, I don't know what to get you, ask for a gift card of cash, a Visa card, if you don't have the money, and get in there and say, okay, I'm going to dedicate 6 months or 9 months or 3 months to the next chapter. And I'm going to learn as much as I possibly can. Because the reason we call it the next chapter is we want you guys to get over this divorce, get over what happened, and start living your life so that you can have somebody wonderful come in, so that you can have your kids look at you as like a great role model, so you can look at yourself in the mirror and go, I'm a fucking badass. I'm a good mom. I'm a good person. And a lot of you aren't there yet. We weren't there yet. We did this shit on our own, and it was like climbing up a mountain in the fucking snowstorm with no shoes on and no water supply. Like, it was the longest.
Trial and error, so many mistakes that you don't have to make because we can tell you all about it.
Right. So it's like, I want you to get there faster than we did. And then, so like we got there at the slowest pace, and then we found each other and we're like, you went through hell. I went through hell. Let's teach them to not go through hell. So that's why we do it. And that's why we keep it at $30. Could we charge like what other people charge for a membership, something like that, where they're getting a training every week, outrageously three digits? Sure, we could. But her and I both agreed, we want everybody to be able to afford this. So $1 a day to go in there and have a support system, have trainings, you're interacting with us. Plus you get to ask us questions. I don't know about you, but if you book a consult with me for 30 minutes, it's $97.
Yeah.
For only 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. You too. So it doesn't mathematically really make sense to book the consult when you could just get you get at least 4 hours of training plus Q&A every week. 97 versus 30. I mean, I'm no mathematician. I mean, I wasn't head of my class by any means, but I mean, I'm thinking like the next chapter is where it's at. Okay. So ask somebody for a gift card if you can't afford it. And that's where you put your money. Give yourself this gift that 2024 is not going to look like the past year. It's going to look completely different because you're going to take advantage of us. We're reading all the books. We're doing all the podcasts. We're doing all the things so that we can just give you the cliff notes because we know you're busy. We know that you don't have the time. We know that you don't have the availability to buy all these books that we're buying. Let us do that and just teach you the cliff notes because you're smart enough to catch on to what the middle stuff is. We'll just give you the highlights. You can do that, but let us help you. Okay. So take advantage of that. Pass this along to somebody that you know needs it. You know, hey, let's do this together in 2024. Let's go hang out with these ladies and hang out for 2024. Okay.
Yeah. Even if you're leaving a relationship, it doesn't even have to be a divorce, honestly, because all this shit is about how to deal with yourself and heal, and how to deal with somebody else, right? When that you're breaking up with. So even if you know somebody who's going through a breakup or something like that, or somebody who's struggling with co-parenting, we dive into co-parenting shit all the time. There's so much information, and it's and that's why we made it affordable for everybody.
Right. So we're going to duck out. We have another meeting at the top of the hour. So you guys have a good week. We'll be back on Thursday again in the morning. What time are we on Thursday? Same time?
10 Eastern, so 9 Central.
9 o'clock. So if you like just this chit chat and hanging out with us, set your reminder for 9 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Eastern time on Thursday, which is Thanksgiving. And
it doesn't
matter to me. I'm
still
going to be.
Yeah, we can still hop on.
Hell yeah. I cannot see you every day. So yeah, we'll still be on here Thanksgiving Day. Maybe we'll have maybe we could do like a theme and do something about like what we're thankful for of why we got divorced.
Okay.
I know what I'm thankful for. Yeah. So, all right, you guys take care of yourselves. We'll see you on Thursday morning. Bye everybody.
Bye TikTok.